Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. Open your heart and mind now as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the broadcast. We're talking about unscriptural traditions concerning healing. It's important for you to know that it is the will of God for you to be healed, and you need all these unscriptural traditions being put under your feet, that the traditions of men make the Word of God of none effect in your life. Remember, we cannot have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. That's what happens in the last days because of the deception of the enemy. We've already looked at these traditions, that affliction is sickness and comes to all Christians, and that we're supposed to accept it. That's a lie. The Lord delivers us out of every affliction when we pray, and affliction is usually hardships, persecution, and trials, and sickness has already been dealt with on the cross, and you are not to receive it. You are to live in divine help. Secondly, sickness is God's rod of chastening to teach us and make us stronger. That's a lie. Chastening means to instruct or train or teach. And God teaches us through His Word. He corrects us through His Word. His Word teaches us. His Word abiding in us makes us stronger. The trials and problems, sickness, disease, or tragedies that come, they are not going to teach us. They are not going to be used. They're not God. Instead, that's the devil working at you. Now, in the midst of those, many times people will turn towards God, so they then will start listening to Him, and then God can start working in their life. But God did not bring those things to teach you or make you stronger or turn you to God. A third tradition is that we're supposed to suffer for Jesus with sickness. We don't suffer with sickness and disease. Jesus already suffered for us. We don't need to suffer with what He's already suffered. We're supposed to walk free from it. No sickness and disease is supposed to come nigh our dwelling. The only thing that we suffer, the scriptural suffering for a Christian, is persecution for the gospel's sake. Another tradition is sickness is for the glory of God. That's another lie. Sickness does not bring glory to God. Healing brings glory to God. Sickness is really for the glory of the devil because he's the one that brings that into your life. If sickness was for the glory of God, why in the world would we try to get healed? Sickness is not for the glory of God. Sickness is for the enemy's destruction. God gets glory when healing comes forth. And you see that in the Word, and we looked at scriptures on that. When they were healed, they glorified God. Another lie that God's not willing to heal all. That's a lie. He'll heal every single person. If you haven't been healed, there's a reason why. You need to understand that. And you can receive healing. God is no respecter of persons. What He's done for one, He will do for all. Another lie is that He's not healing anymore in favor of medical science. You know, this world, unfortunately, has begun to look to medical science first as its source. That's error. You need to look to God. Asa looked to the physicians first. He didn't seek the Lord, and he ended up dying. Too many Christians are suffering in affliction because they don't go to God. It's time for you to look to the Lord as your healer. He is your source. Remember that He has the power that is going to set you free, and He will heal you. Praise God. Don't sit there and be one who just looks to doctors. Praise God for what doctors can do. Medical science uses physical laws and physical means to assist in the healing process, but doctors know that they're not the healer. God is the healer. Also, that sickness, God sends sickness upon people. That's a lie. He will permit it because of man's disobedience. He does not commit it. He's not involved in it. Satan's the one who brings it. God will permit it because of our wrong choice. What God does is comes to heal us and set us free. Now, in the last broadcast, we talked about Job, and we're going to talk briefly about that, and then talk about Paul's thorn today. Now, what about the truth about Job? In Job 1:10, let's review this. It said, Satan said, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him?" He's speaking to God, and he says, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face." Does God take directions from Satan? No. What did the Lord say to Satan? Behold. What's behold mean? Look. Open your eyes. Look. This was already in existence. Look. All that he hath is in thy power. He just made a flat statement. All that he has is in your power. Now why were all of Satan, or all of Job's goods, everything he had, in Satan's power? because of Job's fear. In Job 3:25, Job said this himself. He said, "For the thing that I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." And you look through the whole book of Job, and he's continually making faithless, negative statements about what God, saying God was, you know, doing these things. The arrows of the Almighty were in me, and he was hopeless, and he was complaining, and he was in bitterness, and he had all kinds of negative statements out of him. In fact, he came to the place where he said, "I've uttered things that are not according to knowledge." He realized that he spoke things that were wrong. He was in fear all along, and that opened the door and pulled down the hedge. You must understand that God did not pull down the hedge. If God had been the one responsible to pull down the hedge, he would have been in sin himself. Pulling down the hedge, that comes because of sin. In fact, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes 10:8 that says, "Whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him." Now, God's not going to pull down the hedge so the serpent could bite God. Man pulled down the hedge, and what happened? It gave place to the devil to be able to come at Job. All that the Lord said to Satan was, "Behold, look, all that he has is in thy power." Of course, he never could come against Job and take forth his life because he never would curse God. He never denied God. But he was in fear that gave place to the enemy. Of course, after he finally repented, realized that he'd uttered things wrong, and repented, prayed for his friends, got all his attitudes right, got rid of his bitterness and all these things, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and God gave Job twice as much as he had before. God's the giver and the blesser. Satan's the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now let's look at Paul's thorn. Paul's thorn in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Tradition says it was sickness and disease. Was it sickness and disease? No. Sickness and disease would be spoken forth and clearly revealed here if that was the case. But what do we see that Paul's thorn was? Paul's thorn was a messenger, which is in the Greek word angelos, which is an angel of Satan, which would be an evil spirit. Let's look at this. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." What was the thorn in the flesh? The messenger of Satan. Therefore, the thorn in the flesh came from Satan. It was not coming from God. It was an evil spirit. An evil spirit is a personality. Weymouth's translation says, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, Satan's angel, to deal blows at me." And that's exactly what was happening. What was the purpose of this evil spirit? He was trying to stop Paul from preaching the Word of God. Remember on his missionary journey, he tried to stop him and hinder him every place he went. Satan was stirring up persecution against Paul, and that was a thorn in Paul's side. You need to realize that. In fact, if you look up what a thorn is in someone's side in Scripture, you see that it always dealt with a personality. In Numbers 33, verse 55, the Bible says, "If you'll not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before thee, then it will come to pass that those which you leave let remain, them they shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell." It was personalities that were causing this problem. The Canaanites were harassing them and continually being a thorn to them. And this is showing the fact that it was a personality. And this is exactly what was going on with Paul. Paul was being continually harassed by an evil personality, an evil spirit. We see in Joshua 23:13, it says there, "To know for a certainty the Lord no more will drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, scourges in your sides, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off the good land." That's because they were being disobedient to God and didn't do the things that he wanted them to do. Now, it's important you realize that these thorns were personalities, and this is what Paul was dealing with. Evil spirits were coming against him. Now, this thorn in the flesh was an evil spirit, and what was it sent to do? To buffet him. That means to strike repeatedly at him, blow after blow after blow. What do you see in the book of Acts that happened? We're not talking about sickness and disease. We're talking about persecution and attacks that continually came at him at every single city that he went in. They were stoning him. They were coming against him. They were trying to stop him from preaching the gospel. Why? Lest he should be exalted above measure. Who was trying to exalt him? God. The Bible says, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time." 1 Peter 5:6. Who was trying to stop him from being exalted? Satan. Why? Because he did not want him to be exalted in the eyes of the people, because he knew that they would receive the gospel and they would all receive the gospel and get born again and see the work of God in their life. So he was persecuting him every which way with this evil spirit sent to stir up persecution. You know, Paul was a proven minister of God, and he was going forth obeying God, and God was trying to exalt him in the sight of the people so that he could win the whole towns and villages to the Lord. But Satan would come against him. Now, Paul, what did he do? He didn't have all the revelation that he needed, unfortunately. And it says there that he sought the Lord. It says, "For this thing I sought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." He wanted the Lord to get rid of this thing, but Paul was asking God to get rid of the satanic angel. But you know what? Later on, this is the first missionary journey. On the second missionary journey, he had gotten some more revelation from the Lord that he had authority over the enemy. On the second missionary journey, he was taking authority over him, and he wasn't having the problems he had on the first one, because he got the revelation and understanding. Remember, his revelation was coming progressively to him. And what's the Bible say? You resist the devil and he will flee from you. You're the one to take authority. He was looking for God to get rid of the devil, and God turned around and said, "My grace is sufficient for you." What's the grace of God? The grace of God is the grace that brings salvation, Titus 2:11. The grace of God is God's willingness to use his power on your behalf even though you don't deserve it. And he was saying that my willingness to use my power on your behalf is available for you. You can take authority over this evil spirit and drive him out and get rid of him from your life. And that's exactly what Paul learned to do. He didn't have this straight before. And he goes on and says, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength, the word is power, is made perfect in weakness, or in your want of strength. This weakness indicated he had an inability to produce results because he didn't have the revelation. When we don't have realize that we have no ability within ourselves to overcome, we can use his power through the name of Jesus because of the grace of God toward us to stop Satan's attack. And he said, "My power is going to excel on your behalf." And he said that you were supposed to take authority over the enemy and drive him out. Of course, Paul realized, when I'm weak in my own ability, then I'm strong because I'm turning to God and he's going to deliver me. So we see that this was not sickness and disease. This was an enemy from Satan trying to stop him from preaching the gospel. This, again, is another lying, unscriptural tradition of men. We'll see you on the next broadcast. God bless you. As I close today, do you have needs in your life? If so, we have a healing, deliverance, and counseling center to minister to your needs. We've seen the Lord set people free from anger, fear, anxiety, emotional and mental problems, as well as poverty and loss of prosperity and addictive problems such as nicotine, alcohol, drugs, and gluttony. The Lord will deliver you from all of these problems. If you would like to receive personal ministry, please call 268-WORD. That's 268-9673. And now, until I greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a doer of the Word of God.